السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, throughout the world nobody seems to be finding any peace and happiness. Who can really claim to be having peace and happiness, satisfaction, contentment? Besides the Ahlullah, besides the people who are the people of Allah, besides those who have got Allah Ta'ala in their hearts, nobody else has got peace. There is nothing but restlessness, there is nothing but anxieties and worries. Once the heart becomes engulfed with greed, with passions, with evil desires, with malice, with jealousy, with hatred, with pride, then we have extinguished the noor of the heart. And when the noor of the heart is extinguished, then there will be nothing but darkness, and darkness brings restlessness. Like if we have for the next couple days only darkness, as will happen close to Qiyamah, and there are some countries in the world where they have 6 months of light and 6 months of darkness. So for them, because they are residents of those places, they somehow get used to a certain amount of darkness. But take a person from our country and place him there and leave him in darkness there for 6 months. Just imagine the lights went off, the power plant, there was a bomb blast, and therefore now there's total darkness. So darkness outside, darkness inside. For how many days can a person survive that kind of darkness? It creates restlessness, complete restlessness. You want light to come, you want sunshine, you want, like in England, for many days when they don't have sunshine, then when the sun shines, then nowadays they get a lot of sunshine, but there was a time when for 6, 7 months, 8 months, there was nothing but clouds. So sunshine was like Eid for them, because we experience so much of sunshine, to us it doesn't mean anything. But to those people who don't get sunshine, it is like Eid for them, the day the sun shines. So our hearts also, when darkness comes in, it must bring restlessness. And the effect of sins is darkness. Therefore in that dua that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught, where there has been mentioned that, O Allah, clean my heart or wash away my sins with the water of snow and ice. Wash away my sins with the water of snow and ice. My salj wal bard. So Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, it was his majlis, and Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that senior Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he was sitting there. And he asked him, he said that, why did Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam mention the water of snow and ice to wash away sins? What connection is there between snow and ice and sins? So now it is something that you don't find the reply to that or an answer to that in the kitabs easily. So he lowered his head and made dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to put some, to inspire him with an answer. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala put into his mind, gave him the reply. Of course, that is not wahi, that is inspiration, which is called ilham. Wahi comes to the prophets of Allah Ta'ala and ilham to the walis of Allah Ta'ala. The ilham has to be in conformity with the sharia, then only it is accepted. So he said, sins have got two qualities. Sins have got two attributes. One is darkness and the other is heat. Because you get connected with the fire of Jahannam. The moment you indulge in sins, immediately the heart is connected with the fire of Jahannam. We may not see the connection, but it does not mean that if our eyes do not see it, then it does not exist. There are lots of things that we do not see. I always give that example that when we put in the paper in the fax machine here, it comes out 10,000 miles away. Our paper is still here, and the entire message on another piece of paper 10,000 miles away, they receive it. Now, if there was no connection between our machine and that machine, then you would not have had this paper coming out on the other side. The telephone system, the electronic system that we read of, the wireless systems, there is a connection, but our eyes do not see it. So we have to give our hands into the hands of the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who had sight. We must consider ourselves as blind. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not only state these things from the wahi that came to him. All the other Nabis, wahi came to them, that this is what we have in Jannat, this is what we have in Jahannam. In Jannat, for those who are obedient, these are the ni'mats that we have, and in hell, these are the punishments. From whatever wahi came to them, they informed the ummah. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the night of Miraj, he was actually shown what is in Jannat, what is in Jahannam. So he says that there are two connections. The sins have got two attributes. One is darkness and one is heat. The connection with Jahannam, that's darkness, that's the heat. And the connection with the heart, that one, the person, when he commits sins, now darkness comes inside. If he carries on committing sin, then total darkness. It's like total eclipse. So now, if you look at snow and ice, they have got two qualities. One is coolness and one is brightness. Snow has got whiteness, brightness, and ice has got coolness. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, water of snow and ice. Now just look at the connection. That clean my heart out, wash it out, so that there can be coolness in my heart. And also there can be brightness in my heart. Because once coolness and brightness will come, the person will automatically get peace and contentment, satisfaction. All the material things of this world that we make use of, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has not prohibited us, as long as we do not violate the ahkam and the laws of sharia. But there is no guarantee and no promise anywhere in the Quran Sharif or in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that if you make use of a certain mean, then you will definitely get the result. Nowhere there is. If you have to look at the entire Quran Sharif and the Hadith Sharif, nowhere will you find that if you have to make use of certain means, then you will definitely see the fruits. You will definitely see the results. You will definitely get what you were out to achieve. Nowhere is there a promise. It is Allah Ta'ala's custom, Allah Ta'ala's practice, Allah Ta'ala's will. If He connects or if He gives the fruits of those means, then it is His will. And if He does not give it, no matter how much the person makes use of those means, but he will not get the results. There are certain sicknesses where the person is tisqa, the person is got the sickness that he can drink as much water as he wishes to, but it is not going to quench his thirst. So now the water is not quenching his thirst, yet it's a means of quenching thirst. A person gets married and his niyat and his intention is that if I have children, then I will make them into alims, muftis, doctors, teachers, lawyers. So he gets married. But no way is there a promise in the Quran Sharif or anywhere in the Hadith Sharif that if a person gets married, then the end result will be that he will be blessed with children. There are so many people, they are trying for years, taweezes, medication and everything else, but they have no children. So we have to adopt the means. Nobody says we mustn't adopt the means. But no promise has been made that when you adopt the means, you will definitely see the results. Business is a means of earning livelihood. But there is no promise in the Quran Sharif that if you open up a business in West Street or some other street, then definitely you will get so much of money from that business. That business could be in a very busy area and yet it could be a flop. And another business could be in an isolated area and yet in a desolate area and yet the person is making plenty of money there. So these means Allah Ta'ala has created, we make use of them, but we are not promised results. We must make use of it because we are living in a world of means. So nobody says we must not make use of means. Use your cars, use your homes, use your clothes, use everything. Use the intelligence and invent and manufacture and make whatever you want to. But the promise has not been made that you will get what you are out to achieve. But with the, as far as taqwa is concerned, when a person adopts taqwa, then there's a promise in the Quran Sharif. This is the difference. That when the person restrains himself from sins, from haram, so now there is a promise in the Quran Sharif that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that the person who will adopt taqwa, he will stay away from haram, then Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for him. In all his difficulties, problems, Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and Allah Ta'ala will provide for him sustenance from sources unexpected, unknown to him. He will not expect that Allah Ta'ala will send to him risk from these sources, but it will come from halal sources unknown to him. So this is now a promise. Like that you will find in the Quran Sharif lots of promises of Allah Ta'ala that have been made on tawakkul, on taqwa, on istighfar. As I mentioned in my Jummah talk 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that istighfar is a means of drawing sustenance from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One person went to Hazrat Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh and he complained. He said, "Oh Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh," he says that "I do not have children." So he said, "Make istighfar, seek forgiveness, make plenty of tawbah, ask Allah Ta'ala, turn towards him, repent." Another person came and he complained that there's no rain. So because of no rain in that village, there's drought, there's famine. So he said, "Make istighfar, make plenty of istighfar." Another person came and complained about gardens. He said, "Make istighfar, there's no garden, there's no crop." He said, "Make istighfar." Anything they asked him, he said, "Make istighfar." So somebody said, "Is there anything else that you know besides making istighfar?" So he said, "Well, that is what the Quran Sharif tells us. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told his people, قُلْ تُسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. I told my people that make istighfar. Make istighfar to your Rabb. You will find him to be very forgiving. He is ghaffar, extremely forgiving. He really loves forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala is not there just to punish. He does not like to punish. If a father or a mother tells the child, look, that is fire. Don't go close to that fire because your hands will burn. Your body will burn. Stay away from the fire. So does it mean that the parents like to punish the child in that fire? If the parent's intention was to put that child into that fire, then they wouldn't have warned that child that that is fire. They would have said, go towards that glowing light. But the very fact that they are warning that child shows that they do not want the child to go there. But if the child becomes arrogant, stubborn, and persistent in its stubbornness and goes towards that fire, then you will blame that child. So in the same way, Allah Ta'ala does not want anybody to head for the fire. Otherwise, he wouldn't have revealed the Quran Sharif, he wouldn't have sent 124,000 Nabis, he wouldn't have sent the Awliya, the Solaha, the Ulama, the Mashayikh. All these things wouldn't have been there if Allah Ta'ala wanted us to go into the fire. He does not want us to go there. So he told his people that make istighfar. You will find Allah Ta'ala is very forgiving. Yursali samaa alaykum midrara. He will send down rain for you in abundance. That rain is not going to cause damage to your crops, to your vegetation, to your animals. It's not going to end up like floods and cause havoc. the rain will be good for you, for the crops, for the animals, for everything. You have heard this ayat many times from many speakers, but the purpose is to understand it and to implement it in our lives. So it's Allah Ta'ala will give you rain in abundance. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And He will strengthen you with wealth and with children. You want sons, Allah Ta'ala will give you. He will give you wealth also. Make plenty of istighfar. So now these are promises that Allah Ta'ala has made. And people who made use of this prescription, they saw the results. Because Allah Ta'ala does not speak a lie. And there is no such thing that Allah Ta'ala is just saying these things so that we start making some istighfar and tawbah, but He doesn't have the treasures to give us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has plentiful in His treasures. There is no shortage in His treasures. But He wants us to make that istighfar. He wants us to make tawbah. And He has promised a lot of things, and His promises are true. They will be true. So what I was explaining to you is this, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hasn't promised us on means, that if you adopt the means, you will definitely see the results. But on istighfar, on tawakkul, on zuhud, on qanaat, there are so many promises that have been made. So the person, when he is going to obey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and stay away from sins, then he is not doing Allah Ta'ala any favor. No favor upon Allah at all. He will be bringing peace and happiness into his own life. That restlessness, that darkness which came because of the sins will then vanish. It will evaporate. The person will actually sense within his heart that there was darkness which has now gone. So many times I have given this example of the light, that if you switch it off now, it's going to be dark. As soon as you switch it on, it's light. In the same way, inside the heart, the person who has been making plenty of istighfar is making tawbah, and accidentally now he committed some sin. So he will get such a restlessness that until he does not make plenty of tawbah and istighfar, he is not going to be satisfied. And then when he is going to make that, he will actually feel within his heart again a kind of light, peace, sukoon, tranquility. Now this is what Shariat wants to give to us. The purpose of this majlis is so that we get this in our hearts. Not just to listen and listen, or just to increase our knowledge all the time, which is a very good thing to increase the knowledge. But if we have just the knowledge but no hal, no condition, then there will be an emptiness all the time in our hearts. Again, that example that I gave of the museum, if you have to go, you will see animals there, lions, cheetahs. But even a child can go up to that lion and topple it. Therefore, they write, they put a big notice there, please don't touch. Now, did you ever see a lion in the jungle with a notice, please don't touch me? So that shows that there's no haqiqat in that lion. It is just a surat of the lion, just the features of a lion. But there's emptiness because there's no soul inside. And without the soul, it is not a lion. Without the soul, it's not a lion. As we say, we refer to them as paper tigers. A paper tiger, can it bite anyone? The child takes the scissors and cuts the paper tiger. But tell that same, leave the child, take an adult and send him to the jungles and ask him to stand there without a gun. So because there is no soul, it's just the surat. And surat does not help a person very much. The surat is required. The outward form of the namaz, roza, zakat, hajj is all essential. But it does not bring the results. For the results we require the haqiqat. And the purpose of this majlis is that we bring the haqiqat in our lives. Too long, far too long, we have just listened to talks. We have to take the first steps towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then He will pull us. And remember that everything that a person does, it is being recorded. On Sunday I mentioned that if you have to look at these tape recorders, if you have to look at the computers and all these other things that record, then first of all man has to make them. It takes him such a long time to manufacture them. So much of time, so much of money was spent before they manufactured or made the first computer and the first tape recorder. Then it has to be produced at the factories, then it has to be marketed, then we purchase it. Then we have to put batteries in there or connect it with the plug, and then it starts recording. Until then, it doesn't record. If a person has got an AC connection, and then suddenly the lights go off, there's no power, then all the recording fails. But did we ever hear that the Kiraman Katibin, which are recording all our deeds, because there was a power failure, the recording will not be done today. The angels will not be able to record because there was a power failure. Or if a person is recording on batteries, then if the batteries run out of power, then they say the recording is poor because it ran out of power. But we never heard of the Kiraman Katibin's recordings being of poor quality because there was battery power failure. So the recording that we do, it is subject to so many other factors, outside factors. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got a recording by the angels, Kiram and Katibin, Ya'alamuna ma taf'alun. They know exactly what you are doing. There is no question of cheating or deceiving. They are recording everything. Then again, if you have to look at the tape recorder, then the tape recorder hasn't got aqal to understand what is haq and what is batil. The tape recorder does not have that kind of aqal. It does not have that kind of intelligence to differentiate between haq and batil. If I have to proclaim, na'uzu billah, some aqidah of kufr, it records it. And then if I proclaim an aqidah of iman and Islam, it will record it. But it will never be able to separate that this is an aqidah of kufr and this is an aqidah of iman. But look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's recording. That the person now, he can separate, he can divide, he can differentiate. And he does not require any power connection. How much of ni'mat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us, for which there is no connection required with any other power. Otherwise, just imagine the amount of difficulty we would have had. Whole day we are using the computer, our brain. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not charging us anything for it. So the computers and our recorders, they record certain things correctly, certain things incorrectly, though they fail. Sometimes they say computers are down, and sometimes they say somebody hacked all the information. Now, did you ever hear that somebody really decoded and found the Kiraman Katibin's recording code, and therefore they hacked it? Finish. Nauzubillah. Nothing. Everything is recorded. This is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, the ayat which I recited, in which Allah ta'ala says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ, the book will be placed before them. Whatever has been recorded will now be before them. Everything that was recorded will be before the person. There is no way that he can deny. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ, and you will see the sinful ones in a state of terror because of that which they are now seeing in that book. They thought that whatever they had done was concealed from the sight of people. My father didn't see it, my mother didn't see me doing it, my brothers didn't see, my clients didn't see, my managers didn't see, my neighbors didn't see. That's all the time person is committing sins, he is looking around that nobody must see. If nobody is seeing, then he thinks that he can commit that sin because of that weakness of iman. But if he believes that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching everything, jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. You can hide from the whole world, but you cannot hide from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says the kitab, now they will feel, you will see them in terror just because of whatever they had done, you will find it in there. وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. Regarding that kitab, now they will say that what kind of a book is this? I'm not giving you the translation, I'm giving you just the meaning. What kind of a book is this? They will be in a shock state that what kind of a book is this? La yughadiru saghiratan wala kabira. It does not pass anything whether small or big, whether it's small thing or big thing, whatever it comes across, it has recorded everything. Nothing has been left out. The minutest things have also been recorded. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they will find that whatever they did will be in front of them. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayhi stated that there is no need here for ta'wil. He says, whatever you do in this world, you will see the haqiqat of it in the akhirat. Whatever sins the person commit, he'll see the shape and form of those sins in the akhirat. That will be his azab. The lions or the snakes, the fire, the chains and whatever has been mentioned of Jahannam, that is the haqiqat of his a'mal. Whatever a'mal he has done here, he will see the haqiqat there. And all the good deeds, namaz, roza, zakat, tilawat, generosity, kindness, truthfulness, honesty, sincerity, all the good things that he did, he will find the same thing, the haqiqat of that, he will enjoy the ni'mats in Jannat. So they will be then shocked, but it will be too late. So what we have to do is to implement this in our daily practical life. That whatever actions we are undertaking, they are being watched by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is no way that we can avoid His sight. And if we are in search of peace and sukoon and ni'mats and rahmat and mercy, then we have to adopt the means that bring these type of things. As we always say, must adopt the means, adopt the means. So in the same way, there are means that we have to adopt to get into our life some kind of peace and sukoon, some kind of tranquility, serenity, joy and happiness. Looking at the people that are dancing like monkeys all over and we think that they are enjoying happiness, that is not happiness. And even if they are enjoying happiness, if they are disbelievers and to some extent they are enjoying themselves, then we should not allow our saliva to flow looking at them. That look at them, how they are enjoying themselves. There's no restriction at all. They can go to cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, dance halls, commit plenty of fornication, adultery, do any kind of sin under the sun, and there is no problem for them. They are enjoying themselves because this is Jannat for them. If they are not going to get Jannat in this world, where are they going to get it? Because there is no Jannat in the Akhirat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, again, what must I do when this example just comes away to my mind, I will repeat even if it's 100 times. Just the other night we were eating with some friends and I mentioned to them that I said, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had willed, He would have said that since I am going to be giving you Jannat in the Akhirat, and in Jannat there are ni'mats, ma la aynun ra'at, wa la uzunun sami'at, wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, the thought also didn't cross anybody's mind. So I will be giving you that in Jannat. So therefore, as a believer in this world, you are only entitled to a little bit of bread and water, because I'm going to be giving you everything in Jannat. These people, there is no Jannat for them, so here they can drink, they can gamble, they can commit adultery, fornication, do all kinds of things, and eat everything, pork and or any kind of meat. There is no halal haram for them, because there's no Jannat for them in the Akhirat. But since you will be getting the ni'mats in Jannat, so therefore I cannot give you in this world ni'mats. Here you must have just some dry bread and water to survive. So if you are living for 60 years, you must not complain, because you will be getting billions of years of ni'mats in Jannat. So I am entitled to restrict you from any kind of ni'mat in this world. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would have been justified if He had done that. But just look at Allah ta'ala's love for His creation, and especially for the believers, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not do that. If you have to look at the flesh of animals, goats, sheep, cattle, camel, buck, so many kinds of animals that you can eat meat, because Allah Ta'ala says, my bandas, they will get tired if I have to tell them just eat bread and drink some water. So never mind, as far as meat is concerned, you can eat the meat of all these animals, slaughter it in the halal way and eat. Then again, if you have to look at the vegetable kingdom, then all kinds of vegetable Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made halal. Eat. Because if I had to only make cabbage halal for them, then they will get tired. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, you can eat everything. In the same way, if you look at the drinks, Allah Ta'ala could have said only water halal. All other juices and all for others it is halal, but for you in akhirat, in jannat. But Allah Ta'ala did not do that. So many kinds of drinks He made halal. So many kinds of clothing are halal. So many kinds of transport, all permissible. Now what more does a person want in life? Why does he find Islam restricting? All the time they say, it's difficult. What is difficult? The difficulty is that we do not want to take the pain on our hearts of restraining ourselves from haram, because haram is something that Allah Ta'ala knows is not good for the believers. It's not good for mankind in general. It does not mean only for the believers. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has declared haram is not good for anyone. It's just that they are not being punished here for that, for those sins of theirs, because there's no jannat for them. But it does not mean that because pork the Muslim does not eat, so therefore it's very beneficial and very healthy for the disbelievers. Haven't you read of researches into pork, and how harmful it is, and how many kinds of germs it contains, and diseases it can cause? Take alcohol. Does it mean that just because the Muslims have been restricted from drinking it, or prohibited from drinking it, it's very good for the disbelievers? If they drink, it's very good for their health. Has anybody told us up till now that it's very good for their health, drinking plenty of alcohol, or committing plenty of adultery and fornication? Their aqal hasn't come right still, after all the AIDS and everything that they are confronting. So does it mean that committing zina is a very good thing? So whatever Shariat has declared haram is haram because there is great benefit in there for the person who restrains himself from haram. It's Allah Ta'ala's love for us. This is what I'm trying my level best to get into my own heart and your hearts. That from whichever angle we look at Shariat, from whichever angle we look at Islam, from whichever angle we look at the teachings of Quran and Sunnah, there's nothing but beauty in it. There's nothing but beauty in it. But if we are blind and we say that there is no beauty in this beautiful garden, there's no beauty in this woman, and yet she may be the prettiest of women who is married to him. But because he is blind, he cannot see her beauty, so he says that you are dark and ugly, and I can't see any beauty in you. So we will say that go and get your eyes treated. There's something wrong with your eyes. Or the person who has got jaundice and now he sees everything yellow. You tell him that this is beautiful rainbow colors here. He says, no, everything is yellow. What are you talking about rainbow colors? So we'll say, go and treat your eyes. The person who is got malaria and everything is tasting bitter. So we'll say, go and treat yourself, because this food is very tasty, but there's something wrong with you. So like that in Islam, from all angles that you look at it, there's nothing but beauty in it. We are seeing no beauty in it because of our weakness. The beautiful moon of the 14th night, it lights up the whole world. But the dogs bark at the moon. In villages, the dogs bark at the moon. Full moon night, you'll find the dogs barking a lot. So now does it mean that there is a fault in the moon? The moon has got its beauty and it's lighting up, but these dogs can't take that brightness and the light of the moon, and they are finding it abnormal. So we must understand this, that there is nothing but beauty. And why I'm repeating this is that the day we understand that every teaching of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's nothing but beauty in it. So it is natural, human nature it is, that you want beauty. The person, he is attracted towards beauty. He is attracted towards goodness. He wants to enjoy life. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created all these means for us to enjoy ourselves. But He said that eat, drink, there is no prohibition as far as the halal is concerned. Look at how many things I made halal for you. But when the strength comes into your body, because when you eat food, it is going to bring some strength into your sight. If you eat food, then it's going to bring some strength into your ears, into your hearing. And it will supply all parts of the body with nourishment. The hay also grows, the nails grow, everything happens because there is food and nourishment. If there's no food and no nourishment, the person that goes on hunger strike, after some time, then he can't hear properly. His sight also begins to fail. His voice also goes. Everything is affected. So it shows that this great ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala gave, food, drink, different kinds of animal meat you can eat and different kind of juices you can drink, all that. After that, when the strength has come into the body, now don't be namak haram. That Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat, now we say, oh Allah, this strength and energy that has come into my body, then I am going to use it against you. That is namak harami now. The father gives the son money, gives him car, gives him everything, and that son swears the father. He slaps the father. He spits in the father's face. What will that father do? Our actions are showing that we are doing exactly that with Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats. That Allah Ta'ala is giving it to us, and we are spitting na'uzu billah. That what can you do to us? The strength that has come into my body, now I will go and commit adultery. Money has come into my pocket, I will go to the cinema, theater, gambling den. Everything that you have declared haram, I will say that how can I stay away from haram? How can I stay away from these entertainment spots? How can I stay away from these kind of haram pleasures? Because I will get bored. Now the person is getting bored in halal. So what Allah Ta'ala does is that He allows the person first to go to that haram, because that's his intention, that's his desire, that's his wish. So whoever it is, Allah Ta'ala, He is the one who creates. So this person made the intention and went there. So Allah Ta'ala allows the person. Or if Allah Ta'ala had willed, then He could have appointed angels. That the moment the Muslim is heading towards some haram place, the angel gives one tight slap. Then you see which person goes that side. So Allah Ta'ala allows the person. Now when he starts indulging in haram, then one sin leads to the other. There is an increased desire for sins. One film you see, you can never stop there. You want to see the next one and the next one. And the desire increases so much that the person, if he sees all the filthy films of the world, then too he will feel that I haven't seen enough. That is the straight away the azab that the person gets. And his mind becomes clogged and clouded. And he lives a miserable life. Inside his heart there's such a restlessness. Ask me, so many cases I have seen where the people are really almost gone off their heads. There's madness that has come because of the extensive amount of porn that they are watching. Actually going mad. Children are getting epileptic fits and what else. Brains are getting damaged. Physical and spiritual harm unlimited. That is the effect after that. Allah Ta'ala. So now you don't blame Islam and don't blame Sharia and don't say Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's deen is difficult. Allah didn't make anything difficult. It's like that person went to the Hakim, and when the Hakim checked him up, he said, well, alright, I will give you a list of things that you can eat. Now this was a very generous Hakim. Generally the Hakims, they say you can't eat. The long list is of what you can't eat and the short list of what you can. But this was one of the generous ones, because he knew that this person is from South African village. So he gave him long list of what he can eat. So when he asked him, he'll say, you can eat meat. He says, no, in my village you don't get meat. He says, you can eat fish. He says, in my village you don't get fish. He says, you can eat vegetables. He says, no, in my village you don't get that. He says, you can eat this and that. Whatever he mentioned you can eat, he says, you don't get. So then what do you get in your village? He said, we only get brinjal in our village. So now the thing which was causing him harm, he says, that's the only thing I get in my village. So the Hakim will give him one slap and say, well, then you must make hijrat from your village. If your village doesn't have all these things, then you must blame your village for it. Don't blame my list for it. I gave you such a long list of things that you can eat, but if you can't get all those things in your village, then get away from that village up to some other village where you can eat all those, get all those things. But don't say that the Hakim is very strict now and very tight and very rigid because he has restricted you from all this, from one or two items. As an example, I'm just giving you that. In the same way, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us a long list of items. How much there is that a person can eat, drink, wear. And then the end result will be that he will also get dunya and deen. That when the person will be obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it's not only the akhirat. His dunya will also be made. Whoever will adopt the sharia in one's life, like the relationship between parents and children, brothers and sisters, family members, in business partnerships, wherever, in whichever department you are going to implement Sharia, then there must be peace in that department. That department of life, there must be peace. Wherever there's restlessness, there's fights, there's squabbles, there's disputes, there's arguments, then some party, one of the parties, is violating the right of the others. If both of them fulfill each other's rights, then there must be peace. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us such a beautiful religion. So brothers, before we leave this world, we have to undergo this beauty treatment. Before the bride is sent off, then they send her to a beauty parlor. Her nose must be done up, her cheeks must be done up, her hair must be done up, everything, her nails must be done up. Thousands of rands they will spend on that. And at the end of the day, it is not even certain whether after marriage, the husband will really appreciate her and live with her as he should. How many marriages? Millions are spent. Haven't we read of millions being spent in marriages around the world by kings and princes and princesses? And after that it all fails. So there the person does not even know that. Therefore one bride, when she was being dressed up and her friends congratulated her that you are looking very pretty and nice, so she began to cry. So they asked her that, why are you crying? This is a time for happiness. So she said, when my husband tells me that I like you, I love you, you are looking nice and pretty to me, then that is the time for happiness. Ha! The day Allah Ta'ala tells us that I love you, the day Allah Ta'ala tells us that you look nice, the day Allah Ta'ala says that you look good to me, the day Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala announces that I am pleased with you, then that's the day to smile. That's the day to laugh. That's the day to feel happy. Otherwise, if we say, I made a lot of namaz, I made a lot of zikr, I made a lot of tilawat and a lot of ibadat, but if it was all done for riya, for show, for just pomp and fame and name, then it is not going to lead us anywhere. So that example, that Allah Ta'ala, that when the husband will say that I love you and I like you, then that is the day that she said that is the day to be happy. Because there are so many husbands, they've got pretty wives, but still they're going and spending their time with haram women. So that beauty parlor time is before death. That before we leave this world, we have to beautify our akhlaq, our amal, our muasharat, our muamlat, our dealings, our character, our etiquette, our morals. When we beautify that and then we leave this world, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will also say, oh my beloved servant, I am pleased with you. Fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Now enter into jannat. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq to realize that there is no other solution to our problems except one. And that is to return towards Allah. Turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is such that, especially in these days of fitna, because there's so much of fitnas all around, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blesses very, very quickly. A person just takes a few steps and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes him. And then you will find young people who were addicted. They were addicted to drugs, to drink, or to women and so many other kinds of sins in their lives, and they say that it just took us a few days, few months, few majlises, and alhamdulillah, our hearts, we now find a kind of peace, contentment, happiness. Our marriages which were failing, again it seems as if we are just newly married. I've got letters to that effect. People who were on the verge of committing suicide, but they say that we found sukoon in these type of majlises and gatherings, in the zikr programs. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala saved us from those suicidal thoughts. I had a brother that came just the other day, and I mentioned in that Sunday majlis also, that this person is not just an ordinary person from the worldly point of view. He's a person who is a manager of a very big institution, very big company. I'm not giving you the name. So he comes and he says that, Walna, I was a musician, I was this, I was that, and whatever he was doing. But he says that, alhamdulillah, with the barakat of these majlises, I got rid of all that from my life. and I found such peace and such happiness. But I've got that one television and video which we haven't watched for a long, long time. But I don't want to give it to anybody because somebody else will watch haram on it. Where can I go and smash it? Now people can laugh at him. They can say that what kind of a manager you are that you can't, that you're doing without these type of entertainment. Your life will become boring. So if a person is a millionaire and somebody says that you haven't even got a cent in your pocket, what must you worry about that person? If somebody tells a millionaire that you haven't even got a cent in your pocket, so let him say it's words that he is blowing from his mouth. As long as that person knows that he's a millionaire. If a very pretty woman, if somebody says you are ugly, then what must she worry about that? So in the same way, if somebody tells us that no, you're not enjoying life, your life is boring. So as long as the person himself is convinced, the problem that we face is this, that we've got a very weak kind of bond with Allah Ta'ala. That one minute we are going straight and next thing shaitan and nafs drags us away. Therefore we say, make us the fish that swims deep in the ocean of murder. Because the fish that is on the surface, when the sardines come out, then people even take the kurtas and pull them out. With the kurtas also they pull the sardines out. Ladies with the scarves, they're taking the sardine away. So the fish that is on the surface, this is what happens. But the fish that is deep down, then you can't get it. There's so much battle. So nafs and shaitan is just plucking because we are right on top. But we just make a little effort and it won't happen overnight. People want to change overnight, drastic change they want overnight. Overnight changes are not very good sometimes because the person becomes very staunch with his ishraq and chasht and awabin and this and that and so much of nafils and everything which we don't recommend the person must overdo in these days. He must start first with his farais, with his wajibats, with his sunnat, start making qazas. Then main thing is put all the effort into giving up haram. The moment he gives up haram, straight away he'll start finding peace. But all the haram that he has already eaten, then he has to clear that from his system too. That means all the people that he's owing money, it doesn't mean that now he made tawbah, so finish, everything is wiped out. Even shahadat doesn't wipe out debts. Otherwise that same cat, that billi ninnanwe chuhe khakar haj ko chali. After eating 99 rats, now the cat said, let me make one hajj so that I can become haji cat. So that is not going to help. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, Thursday night will be zikrullahs. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما خطاؤں کو معاف فرما لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما او اللہ forgive each and every one of us forgive our major sins and our minor sins forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly Oh my beloved Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours, but you dearly love forgiveness of sins. You are forgiving, you are merciful, you are kind, you are compassionate. You dearly love those who turn towards you and seek forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive us, forgive our parents, forgive our wives and children, forgive our brothers and sisters, forgive the entire ummah of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Allahumma rabbana la tu'akhizna in nasina aw akhta'na. Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله